For me, then.
A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hi, everyone. Today we're with Rebecca Ruiz, and I really appreciate having you here today to talk about your carnivore journey. So thank you very much, Rebecca.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So for those that don't know you, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name's Rebecca, and my husband Louie and I have 8 kids, and we are all carnivores, our whole family of 10. So on top of being a big family, which is less common these days, we also have a very kind of non-standard way of eating. We have been carnivores for about 1.5 years now as a whole family, and about the middle of last year, I started my YouTube channel talking about what we do and why that we do it. And I tell people in that my husband and I started off like gung-ho 100% from the beginning because it was life-threatening for him, his health conditions. And then the kids, we transitioned really slowly to get to where we are today. And I just, you know, would like to share what we're doing to see if it would inspire other families that are interested in trying this.
Awesome. I love that. So the entire family, all 10 people are carnivores.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's very surprising that's even a possibility in today's day and age. And I love that you guys are doing that. And you're definitely going to be an inspiration to many once everyone hears your story and hears your transitions. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about or expand upon why everybody had started down this journey?
Sure. So we like to say it started in Father's Day of 2022. So on Father's Day, we had half of our kids at camp and the other half at home. And my husband called me into his music room and he thought that he was having a heart attack. His heart was like skipping beats and he felt horrible. And so we had a friend come over, stay with the kids when we went to the ER. And it turned out it wasn't a heart attack, but it was high blood pressure, like 230 over some other number. So like crazy,
wow.
We're going to have a stroke any minute kind of numbers. And we didn't even really know it was high. We thought it was a little high, but, you know, nothing like that. So that was a big wake up call for him that he needed to make some changes. And they needed to be pretty dramatic because those kinds of numbers just are kind of a death sentence, really, mm-hmm. at some point. And he decided he wanted to try carnivore. He had heard of it. He had watched a few videos by Dr. Barry, and he's like, I think I can do this. I think it will work. And I was basically, we were always Team Reese, and I'm like, you want to do it? We will all be on board with this. This is because this will only work if we do it as a family. We have to make a whole lifestyle change. So that's where we started. The next day when he came home, we just started making the changes and just really diving in all the way.
Wow, that's incredible that, you know, it's one thing for a single person to kind of want to make that change, but for the rest of their family to make that change is pretty unheard of. Most people are sort of on their own path with this way of eating. And that's awesome that he had that support and that all of you have kind of seen benefits from this lifestyle. So then in this chat, I want to talk or concentrate a little bit more on you Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of what your transformation has been, get your perspective on things. And let's go from there. So what did you notice at the start?
For me, the thing I noticed immediately was more even energy levels. So as you can imagine, a busy mom, 8 kids, just the whole life. I lived on this wave of carbohydrates and caffeine. I would eat and I'd have the energy drop and I'd have more caffeine and then I'd eat some more and energy drop. And so all day long, I am just trying to keep the energy going. And the transition to this way of eating made it so I had even energy pretty much all day long. I wasn't exhausted in the afternoon. I didn't have to drink 2 pots of coffee to get through the day. It was very refreshing. The brain fog that people talk about lifted. I was able to concentrate more and I started dropping weight without having to try, which was a really, really nice as well. I mean, I didn't start this with that, but it was definitely one of my hopes was to get at a healthier weight. And I had been struggling with that over the last couple of years, each as I got a little older and had a few more kids, it got harder to get back to a healthy weight after each pregnancy. So those were kind of the big benefits right from the beginning.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, if anybody has an excuse to have any kind of struggles in terms of weight, I would say that you have an excuse after having 8 children. I mean, that's quite the feat for sure.
Yes, for sure. And I worked really hard early on that I would have a baby and I would get back in shape and I'd lose weight and I'd make some sort of fitness goal and I did half marathons and a triathlon. And then at some point, I don't know if it was just age or lifestyle or whatever, it just got harder and harder. And I had my last baby after 40 and I just wasn't the same. I don't know if my body just didn't respond the same way to, you know, counting calories and lots of exercise that it used to.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So you said you experienced some weight loss. How much have you lost?
About 50 pounds.
Wow. That's awesome. Very cool. So I bet that makes things a little bit easier around the house.
Big time. Big time. It also helps make it easier to keep up with the kids. And it just makes life a lot more fun to have energy to do things with them. And, you know, I still have a 2-year-old, so I can still get down on the floor and play with her. And she doesn't feel like she has an old creaky mom, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So have you seen any other benefits, maybe in terms of sleep or anything like that?
You know, I haven't noticed anything with sleep. One of the other benefits that's probably one of my favorites is that I don't sunburn anymore.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So as I was a redhead and growing up, I always just thought like, oh, redheads just aren't built for the sun. You know, I'm just going to, I burn, I peel, I go back to white. I can be in the sun for 15 minutes in the summer before I start burning. I'm just going to have to slather in sunscreen and just live with it. And we went on a vacation to the beach in February last year. And I didn't burn the whole trip. And I just soaked up the sun in a way that I had never experienced before. And I did wear a little bit of sunscreen, but we would be on the beach all day. We were out fishing on boats. We were all kinds of things. And I can't explain that experience of not having to spend my whole vacation worried that I'm going to burn so bad that I'm going to be sick in bed. Because I used to sometimes have to like treat myself because I would be so burned. I would get fevers and I would have to like sleep in cold, wet towels to try to pull the heat out just after a day on the beach. And it's so that the feeling like, oh, my skin is healthier in some unexplainable way. There's something really different about my skin now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Especially being fair-skinned and redhead, you always hear horror stories of those folks just having tremendous issues with the sun, for sure. So now you don't suffer. So now you kind of have a superpower.
Yeah, it feels amazing.
That's incredible. I have experienced that as well. I typically really don't have issues with sunburns myself, unless I stay out, you know, very, very long in the sun for over 4 hours or so. But now I could stay out 12, 14, 16 hours in the sun all day long, and I don't burn at all. I may get red from being heated, you know, just hot, but that goes away and there's no sunburn. And it's insane because I can remember as a kid, you know, getting sunburned and your skin would peel off your back. And it was always fun to be with
it's off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No more of that. That's cool. So what experiences have you had with others when they find out how you eat?
I think the most common is just curiosity or it's a lot of curiosity for sure. There's a lot of people that are, I'd say, more dubious than anything. It just seems like, oh, it's just a fad diet. It's just a thing. And why would you make your kids do this weird thing, you know, when it's clearly you and your husband that needed to lose weight. And so, you know, getting to deep enough into a conversation where you can kind of explain where it came from and why we made the decisions that we did, you know, it helps and people are understanding. I find for the most part that people are just mostly just curious, or that's kind of like, well, that sounds all right. I would never want to do that, or for the most part. But more and more, I think people are becoming aware that nutrition really does matter a lot more than we might have realized. And while they may not think that this is the way to go, they do respect the idea that you're really caring about your nutrition for your family. And I find that most people around us really respect that and respect that with our kids, which is really helpful.
I love that. So you haven't had too many negative experiences, which is good.
Yeah, so. It's been pretty minor. Every once in a while, you'll have, you know, a family member that's like, I'm just going to send you lots of articles about cholesterol and fiber and just those kinds of things. And just, you know, you just roll with it.
Right. So are you switching your diet now?
Right. You're like, oh, I never thought about that. Cholesterol, yes. Right. No one's ever mentioned that before.
Right. So what does a typical day look like for you in terms of what you eat?
For me, I right now I'm really trying to focus on mainly ruminant meats. We're pretty focused carnivore family. You know, there's the whole spectrum of how people do it. But I eat mostly ruminant meats and I try to eat it in one meal. I wouldn't say I'm a strict one meal a day person, but I have found that if I break it up too much, I tend to get to snack on things that are not as filling. Let's just put it that way. So like if I have, because I have lots of kids, I'm doing big batches of like chicken in the air fryer and pork steaks, and there'll be somebody's always making bacon, so there's chicken wings all the time laying around. And if I eat a lot of that, I don't feel as satiated. And so I'm munching on it all day long versus when I have one really solid meal that's like just steak or pretty much steak or like steak bites or something like that, that has some, you know, fairly fatty, then I feel satisfied all day long and I don't have to worry about just getting distracted with all of the munching that just because it's around. I'm a chronic overeater from my entire adult life. And so I, even in carnivore, you know, crispy piece of chicken still tastes good even when I'm full. So that's something I've been doing for probably the last couple of weeks. And I think it feels pretty good right now.
Awesome. So it doesn't sound like you're eating a lot, or at least compared to the standard American diet. So you're not experiencing any kind of issues in terms of energy or?
No, not at all. My energy levels are still great for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I don't always get a lot of sleep, but that's because of the kids, not because of any other thing. That's just kids and lifestyle. But my energy levels are still way better than what they were before. And if it's, you know, you can talk, you know, do calories matter or not? That's a great conversation that people like to have. If I'm looking at purely on calories basis, I'm still eating about 2,000 calories a day on most days, sometimes 2,500. So I'm still getting a lot of calories by that respect.
And still losing weight. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love that. So in terms of what you had previously known with regards to nutrition and this, you know, the food pyramid, things like that, and now what you've personally experienced, what can you say in regards to that?
Well, definitely the food pyramid is a lie. I guess it feels like what I grew up with was that big base of carbohydrates. It's great if your food is in short supply and you need cheap nutrition that sits well on a shelf, and you know, those rice and beans and all those and grains that we used to keep us from starving in the winter, those kinds of things. But for majority of us, especially Americans, we're not in a state of near starvation at any point. So we don't need that. And that really the nutrition comes from the meat, the animal products. And it was interesting when I started looking back and reflecting on things I had read, older books, history, different accounts, and seeing how meat was always the centerpiece, the prize of the meal, that and everything else was just the entertainment around it, or it was, like I said, the things that you did not to starve to death. But I think we've always, since human history, known that meat and fat was what was sustaining, and everything else is kind of just there for a variety of reasons. So that's kind of where we're at, is food pyramid. Our food pyramid is the classic carnivore one, where it's ruminant meats and then a little bit of pork and a little bit of chicken on top, and fish. And that's pretty much what we eat.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you 100%. And it seems to me like the food pyramid was just an elaborate marketing scheme for someone.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. So we know that your husband has had tremendous results from eating the carnivore diet, and that's why everyone in your family essentially has started. So I kind of want to get your perspective on his health changes and kind of what you've seen as far as, you know, who he was and who he is now and how that's impacted your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's so many. It's funny when I try to go through the list, I'm always forgetting one or the other. There's the unseen things, which were like he was pre-diabetic and that's gone away. The blood pressure is now at a manageable level without medication. He had low testosterone, and that he doesn't have to take medication for that anymore. So those are kind of like, he had IBS. All of those have gone away. Sleep apnea. What you can see is the 100 pounds of weight loss, which is, of course, dramatic for lifestyle, for sure, and how you feel. But also what you see is what it's like without the depression. So he was, in the midst of all of this, severely depressed, nearly bedridden most days, struggling to find a desire to want to be alive. He would tell you he wasn't suicidal. He just had no joy. He just would go to sleep and just think, maybe I can just die in my sleep tonight because there's nothing I can't live, because he couldn't hardly get himself out of bed. Nothing brought him any sense of satisfaction besides eating. And he would get up, he would eat some junk, he'd watch a movie, and he'd go back to bed. And we were just trying to figure out what was wrong. And the medication helped, but it didn't really, it wasn't fixing anything. And now that is just gone. It's like that fog of depression has just lifted, and he can enjoy life. And so it's like having a whole new person back with us again. Like the kids, you know, remember the difference of when dad was in bed for 20 hours a day, and now dad that's up in the mornings and is able to go out and do stuff with us, and he's going to work, and it's like a new shot at life is what it feels like.
That's awesome. So you got your husband back.
Exactly.
So now he's able to really efficiently get those honeydew lists done, right?
Yes. Something like that.
That's awesome. So your kids have noticed too. So that's a really, mm-hmm. really awesome thing for sure.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. They could tell you, especially the older 4 or 5, they remember very, very clearly what it was like before we started the carnivore way of eating as a family. And they remember differences with me as well. Like my daughter that just turned 14, she's like, I remember when you used to struggle to get out of bed in the morning. You were always tired. And she's like, I remember when I would just have to, you know, she's like, I remember mom, when you would sleep in till like 10 and then you would get up and you wouldn't do a thing till you'd had like 2 cups of coffee. And then we were always late for everything. And so it's funny just even that where I would say I was mostly fine. I was just a little overweight or whatever. But in retrospect, I was just struggling to keep up with life.
Wow, that's awesome that they're able to see those changes. And I'm no doubt that helps with, you know, this, hey, kids, you guys are going to eat on this diet as well, mm-hmm. and not get as much pushback.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely helps. And they were, you know, I'm not going to lie, there's definitely pushback at times. It's a pretty dramatic change, but it was, it's not as bad as people think, especially when you're communicating with them about it and you really focus on the why and the why we're making changes and why we're eating this and not as so much about what we're not going to do anymore. That's the way I like to look at it is, you know, focusing on the goal and really continuing to highlight the benefits for everybody.
Awesome. I love that. So now that you've seen significant results, do you see yourself continuing the carnivore diet indefinitely or maybe introduce some other things down the road?
No, for us, for my husband and I, this is a way of life at this point. We don't see any reason to make any changes. I think especially necessary for him because he is very sensitive to even seasonings, seed oils, things like that. So there's really not any wiggle room for his health. Even finding like we used to eat a lot of like chicharrones, you know, the fried pork skin. And he had one particular brand that he realized if he ate it, he started feeling anxious again. And some of those depression feelings and anxiety feelings would start to pop up. And he did some research. And even though they just said, you know, salt and pig skins, that they actually were fried in a seed oil at the factory. And it's just, for whatever reason, they don't have to list it as an ingredient. He had to go to like the company website to see their processing. And so just even those little bits, it brings back symptoms for him. So it's not even an option if he wants to continue to enjoy life. I have a little bit more flexibility about that, this kind of thing. Like I can go out to dinner and have a steak with whatever seasoning the restaurant wants to throw on it. It doesn't make me sick, but that's about the most extreme I'm going to get because we're a team. I feel great this way. There's no reason to want to go add a thing in here or there just for fun, I guess. We've changed our whole mindset about eating. So it doesn't even really register to want to try to go back to the old way of thinking, I guess.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't ever want to eat another vegetable in my life. I never enjoyed them. And I don't know why I ever believed that eating vegetables was necessary to sustain life. Mm-hmm. But I did and suffered through it. For sure. So yeah. In terms of your YouTube channel, Carnivore Family, mm-hmm. what's your focus with that channel? What do you hope to achieve with that?
My biggest hope is to be able to inspire families, people with kids especially, that this is a feasible way to eat with kids and to help give ideas about how they can do that, what they look like. I did a video about packing lunches for my kids to go to camp and what do we eat on school lunch. What do they take they're homeschooled, but we like go to co-op and they have to take lunches with them. So what do they pack in their lunches? So it's just a lot of really practical kinds of things. How do we handle going to potlucks or trunk or treat, you know, parties, things like that? Just so, you know, what, how do you make this a reality? Do we make exceptions on those kinds of things? Which the insight is that no, we don't make exceptions for celebrations or holidays and things like that. And I really started this because I saw in the carnivore community that especially when I started, there weren't a lot of people who had kids that were with channels. And the few that did have kids, it wasn't really the focus of their channel. So they might do like an episode once a year talking about what they do with their kids. But for the majority of them, it was their journey. And that's great because everybody, you know, has their own journey to share. But since we were doing it as a whole family, I was like, you know what? If this really is the healthiest way to eat, which we believe that it is, then why not introduce this to your kids from as early as possible? Because I mean, I look out and I'm around a lot of kids because my kids have friends and we're at sports games and school stuff. And kids are just not healthy in general. I mean, more kids that struggle with autoimmune disorders and attention disorders, and they're anxious at very young ages, and just all these little subtle things, not to even mention the childhood obesity is at crazy levels. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, this may seem extreme to people, I tell them, but I think our concerns are very extreme. There's something going on in our society and it's not getting better on its own. So it's a dramatic solution, but it's a dramatic problem.
Absolutely, for sure. I love that. And, you know, I think it's very important that there's channels like yours that give everybody perspective on what it actually is like for an entire family to eat that way. Like you mm-hmm. said, there's a lot of channels that may have an entire carnivore family, but, you know, it's only very limited content as far as what the kids are actually doing. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that about your channel for sure. So that kind of leads me into, at least with the children. So the holidays have just happened. Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate that, you know, like with Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these holidays that seem to revolve around candy and food. All the worst things?
Yes. Yes. So this was our second holiday season. So the first one was the big learning curve, and it was definitely the hardest. So we talk about things in advance and what we're going to do, and kind of like, you know, we're parents that are willing to tell our kids no, which is kind of controversial, it seems, anymore with parenting. But so like with Halloween, the only thing, we don't trick or treat anymore. And that kind of was easy timing for us because where we were at, they still weren't doing public trick or treating because it was post COVID. So, the only activity we had was trunk or treat with friends, you know, where you go around, people park their cars and you go around to the back of the cars. And it was people that we knew really well that were from our school co-op. And we had already been doing this for a few months. So we just let them know, our kids are going to, you know, they're going to go around and they're just going to skip the candy. And if there's options that don't have candy, that's great. And if not, that's fine too. And that first year, I think it was kind of a mixed bag. There's a few people that brought things that they could have. Sometimes they bring toys or stickers or just other things. And for kids that are used to getting candy, it was not as fun. They'll tell you that it was not as fun. They were not as excited. There were some tears. And I kind of made a deal with them. I was like, you know what? I will basically, I'm going to do a bribe or a switch. You want to pick out something in exchange, I'll buy you a book or a new shirt or a toy or something like that. And they all got to pick something in exchange for being good sports about not getting candy. And that was fine. Halloween this. Yeah. So it was like, I was like, I bribed him. I'm sorry. This is what we're going to do. If this is going to be a problem, we're not going to go. I was pretty much what I told them, because this, right. we're not going to, We're not going to go have a big bunch of candy today after we spent the last 4 months changing the way we're eating. Second Halloween this year, everybody at that same co-op brought something that my kid could have. They found like the mini jerky sticks, and they brought them like fidget toys, and some of them brought things specifically for my kids, and some just brought multiple options. And so it was really heartwarming to me because they didn't ask anybody to do that, but they now know after a whole year and a half, they knew our kids were going to be like, some of them brought little bags of like cut up cheese for the kids just because it's my kids. You know, they're like, here's your bag of mixed, you know, they're like cheese sticks. They love cheese sticks. So that was great. And in the end, I remind them, Halloween, the biggest part of the fun is the costumes. We're spending time with friends. That's how it is.
I love Thanksgiving. That.
Yeah. So you got to be creative. That's part of it, is be creative. And you have to figure out new ways of approaching things. So with Thanksgiving, it's just our family. We live in Tennessee. My family's from Idaho. My husband's in California. So it's not easy to get together. So on Thanksgiving, we just do our own thing. We get a smorgasbord of, we took the kids to the store. They picked out all the things we don't normally get much of. And so lots of deli meats and sliced pepperonis and salami. And they got calabasa sausages and bratwurst. And, you know, we don't do a lot of those things anymore. And then they picked out a dozen types of cheese. And, you know, we do whatever they want to do. That's what we make. I mean, we just lay it all out. We get sparkling water. And we just have fun with it. And sometimes we might, you know, try something, some new carnivore recipe that people have out or something like that. So that's our, and this last year at Thanksgiving, several of my kids said it was the best Thanksgiving ever. That was their, it was their favorite. They loved all the food and the variety. So that's a big win.
Awesome. I love that. I love the trick-or-treat thing that the community is actually took initiative to do that for your family. That is really awesome.
It has been really awesome. We have great people that our kids go to co-op with, and people at our church as well that are very respectful. And I always tell people, like, I'm not asking you to do anything different. I'm not asking you to do separate things for us. Like it used to be in their classes, you know, a teacher would bring cookies for everybody. Well, I'm not asking you to not do that. I'm just letting you know my kids will decline. And in the, you know, because they're such great people, they either always bring a different option for my kids, or they just go a different route and they bring them, you know, something like coloring books instead of cookies or something, like, you know, they're just, it's great. And so very fortunate to have such great people around us.
That's awesome. And undoubtedly, I'm sure that has some sort of a ripple effect with someone that's like, oh, well, her kids don't eat this candy and things like that, and I'm bringing these other things for mm-hmm. her children or their children. You know, maybe I'll just do the same thing for some of the other kids. And maybe some of the other kids now are experiencing that as well. And maybe they like mm-hmm. jerky and cheese more than candy. And you know, now they're getting good things too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There's definitely been a little bit of that. Like they had a Christmas breakfast at the co-op with the little kids. And it normally would have been a lot of sugar and carby products. But because, you know, my kids are like half the kids in the group, it ended up being that there was like an egg and cheese and bacon casserole. And somebody else brought just cooked bacon. Somebody else brought sausage balls. And then like one mom brought muffins. And then like that was it. That was their breakfast. And I think that was probably such a more sustaining way to start the day for all of the kids, rather mm-hmm. because there's more sugar later on, you know, it's coming later on. So, but you know, we didn't start off our day with just a big sugar and carbohydrate. And I think it helped them, all of them, just have a more, they're already so hyped up. It's Christmas. They don't need sugar to be excited.
Right. For sure. Yeah. That's awesome. So I want to get your perspective on this. So if someone is watching this and they're like, I've heard of the carnivore diet, I don't understand a lot about it, you know, I kind of have my reservations based on you only eat animal products, but they're looking to make a change in their life, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I think my advice generally is to if you're even a little bit curious, to give it a try. I mean, you can do anything for 30 days. Right now, it's World Carnivore Month. It's a great time because there's a lot of momentum and there's a lot of people out there trying it for the first time. And I tell people they're going to be the most successful if they find two kinds of channels to watch. And the first one is you've got to find a channel that's really informative, where you're going to learn a lot and it can start answering all of those questions, the questions about cholesterol and fiber and do I need plants and, oh, you know, what about my thyroid? What all those kinds of questions. And there's thankfully a whole bunch of channels that are like that now, ones with, you know, we've got the whole gamut of doctors doing channels. So if you need an authority to tell you and help you go through that research, and that's really great. So find somewhere where you can learn. And then find someone that inspires you, either their journey because they've done so well, or it's their personality, or there's something relatable to you. I say like a cheerleader channel, you know, like for me, that was Kelly Hogan's channel. I loved it. That woman is just so happy. She's like the happiest carnivore on the planet. And so I would just love every time I would watch her channel and I would listen to it and be like, okay, I'm excited. Yes, I can do this, you know? And so got to have your teacher and your cheerleader. And if you just start there and start that simple, that will help you keep going because, you know, the information, the doctors, that'll give you the confidence that you're not going to die in 30 days trying this. And the cheerleader is going to help you see like, oh, wow, someone, they've lost 100 pounds and they've kept it off and they've cured all these things that are similar to things that I've have. And then after 30 days, I mean, you're going to see a lot of benefits. And I think that helps people get the bandwidth to decide if they can keep going. And I think most of the time people want to after that point.
Awesome. I love that. That's really great advice for sure. So now I'm going to try a little experiment because I am going to interview your husband at a later date. Can you think of anything that you want to say to him in regards to his carnivore journey that he could listen to later?
I think what I would say to him is to always remember where you came from. It's easy to be in the moment and his personality because he's very artistic. He's a musician. He is always just really in the moment and he sees where he wants to be and isn't quite there in a variety of ways. And so I want him to remember where you came from, you know, to go back and watch some of your old videos from music videos that he's done from before he started this and remember how unhappy you were and how much of a struggle life was then. And think what that person now would think about where you are and how they would give anything to be where you're at now. So I just want him to remember that he has come so far, and that is just amazing.
Awesome. I love that. Rebecca, you know, it's been absolute pleasure chatting with you and getting your side of things for the family of 10 with the Ruiz family. And I truly appreciate you, and your story is undoubtedly going to inspire other families out there and help them to regain their health and take command and control of their life, just like you guys have. So I appreciate you, Rebecca, and thank you so much for sharing your time with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also, find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.